Hi, I'm Samantha, a past guest on CJAM's HandyLink. You're listening to HandyLink on CJAM 99.1 FM, Windsor, Detroit.
Hello and welcome to the special pledge drive edition of HandyLink. I'm your host, Cam Wells. Today's show is going to feature some favorite past guests and some new favorites too. In this segment of our show, I'll be chatting with CIC student
Jacqueline Deschamps
from St. Clair College. She'll be telling us about how their innovative program has been benefiting the students. So how have you found the program here at St. Clair so far?
I absolutely love it. I think it's the best thing they've came up with for years now. They probably should have came up with this a couple years ago because that would have been helpful. But, you know, now that it's here, it's so innovative and you can, whenever you're struggling with something, they sit down with you and talk it over and actually go over things with you so you're not kind of over your head.
So what type of disabilities have you seen amongst the students?
Some learning disabilities. I noticed some people have troubles with reading and writing, like myself. I've noticed that a student in the class has the same disability as me, which is cerebral palsies. And I think that's really cool because basically you click with that person because it has the same effect as you.
So what do you hope coming out of this program you will have achieved?
A career, for sure, and they're definitely helping me. I mean, my chef is so understanding, and he takes his time to actually go over the procedures in the kitchen with me, which is absolutely amazing, because no chef will really have the time to do that.
Have there been any challenges that you've observed?
Sometimes when I'm in the kitchen, I get a little flustered because it's so fast-paced. But I just step back and realize, okay, getting upset and getting flustered isn't going to help you. You need to kind of stay calm and focus.
So, thus far, has there been any one success moment that stood out for you?
Yes. Actually, last Tuesday, I made hollandaise sauce. The first time I made it, I kind of screwed up on it and didn't feel so confident. But then, a hollandaise sauce should take you about 15 minutes. I managed to make it a second batch in 5 minutes, which I looked at it and was like, what? This happened? Sweet.
So if you could send any one message to someone coming into this program, what would you tell them?
This is a great program. You're going to have a great outcome. This is going to be the funnest year of your life. You need studying is a little bit of a pain, but you know what? In the end, you're going to feel so confident walking in knowing that you know this stuff.
So, is there anything you'd like to see added to the program?
I kind of wish there was more cooking programs, per se, because they're doing baking as well. And I kind of wish I could do some of the baking as well. But that would be really time-consuming and probably super confusing.
I'd like to thank you for taking the time out to do this.
Well, I'd like to thank you for interviewing me.
But of course. Jacqueline's mentioning wanting a career after completing her program reminded me of something of the utmost importance. Whether a person has a disability or not, we're all entitled to consideration and respect when it comes to a workplace environment. Something she and I have talked about is the need for equality, the need for understanding. For a person with a disability, in some cases this means some modifications, modified workload, specialized equipment. But I maintain, if a person is respected, they feel their work's appreciated, they will do their best. may take time to get into a rhythm of that. But anyone, whether they have a disability or not, if given the right opportunities, the right tools, and things are geared to their skill set, they will succeed. And in a workplace scenario, it is a matter of everybody working together towards a common purpose, making the company the best it can be. And this becomes that much harder if there are things like misunderstandings, misperceptions, and the ever-dreaded workplace politics. Fact of the matter is, anyone in society, with a disability, without a disability, they deserve a chance to succeed and to see what their own capabilities are. And working together, we can achieve this. Something I wanted to bring to all of your attention, something Jacqueline reminded me of, and it's something we should all take a moment each day just to consider: the need for respect and equality. Now, a little something about the station's pledge drive. And here to tell us a little bit about some of the pledge opportunities is our own program director, Brady Hollick.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Cam.
Always a pleasure.
We have a very vast array of pledge drive incentives for everyone this year. For $20, you can get our music prize pack, which is 4 CDs of your choosing, or you can get a full-sized LP if you like. And these are all music selections chosen by our own programmers, and you can get packages specific to any show you like. For $50, you can get our brand new t-shirt designed by Greg Maxwell, and it looks great this year. You can also get the music prize pack with the $50 pledge. And for $100, you can get the gift package t-shirt, as well as one of the many incentives that we've gathered from all kinds of great local businesses.
Yes, but how can the audience go about pledging for this?
We can do all kinds of different pledges. You can call the studio directly at 519-971-3630 and speak with one of our lovely volunteers. And you can do cash, check, money order, PayPal, Visa, or MasterCard.
And by the way, I'm one of the lovely volunteers.
Yeah, exactly.
So, coming up next, we have an interview with our old friend, Stephanie Kepman. She'll be telling us about disabilities and the law. So tell me about recent happenings with disabilities and the law.
Absolutely. Recently, the threshold for qualifying for legal aid has increased, so you can earn a little bit more money and still qualify, which is really important for people on lower fixed income to ensure that they have access to their rights, such as people with disabilities.
So, what are the standards for someone with a disability trying to access these services?
Well, it's a financial threshold, so you have to earn usually less than about $1,500 a month. Normally have trouble or are disenfranchised from their community, and the law have more access to reclaim their rights and ensure that they have access to all the things they have a constitutional right to.
So, for a person with a disability, what would you say would be the greatest benefit?
The greatest benefit would be that there's access to more services, access to more help, access to more funding, potentially, and access to more resources.
In your experience, is it more difficult for a person with a disability to access these services?
Absolutely. You know, lots of people on ODSP, for instance, don't qualify for legal aid because they, quote-unquote, earn too much, and having the help of a lawyer throughout the legal process can really make a difference.
So, if you could send any one message about the need for individuals with disabilities to have their legal rights protected, what would it be?
Just keep on fighting the good fight. You know, put your best advocate is yourself. Connect with your community and, you know, fight for your rights.
So, are there any service organizations that you can suggest for anyone who might be listening?
Obviously the best thing you can do is look yourself to figure out which organization can be tailored to your needs. But if you don't know where to go, start with 211 Ontario. They're really great. They can really figure out what services can help you within your community.
So, what do you foresee for the future with this expansion in place? Do you think disability access and rights will continue to improve?
I hope so. I try to remain positive as, you know, someone with a disability who, you know, is looking towards the future. I can't make any actual predictions, but I really hope that this helps improve access to service.
Thank you very much. Now, a little something more about your opportunity to pledge to CJAM. So, Brady, I was just telling my audience here a little bit about how they can pledge.
We're trying to raise $30,000 for 20% of our annual budget. And you can pledge in all kinds of ways. If you want to go online, you can go to cjam.ca, and there's a little tab that says click here to donate. And you can do PayPal via online, or you can use MasterCard, Visa. You can call us at 519-971-3630, and one of our volunteers will be happy to take your pledge over the phone, cash check, money order.
I'd say operators are standing by, but looking at the booth, the guy appears to be sitting down.
Yeah, exactly. We're all about relaxing here when we can.
But what about the incentives?
Yeah, sure. If you want to donate $20, you can get fabulous music and prize pack that we have here with our incentive room full of CDs and vinyl LPs, and you can get 4 CDs or you can get 1 LP. And for $50, you can get our great limited edition 2014 T-shirts, screen printed on an American Apparel track shirt for a $50 pledge. T-shirt designed by local artist Greg Maxwell. We're all about keeping things local here as well.
And a link will be right back after these commercial messages, so stay tuned.
Reason number 2 to donate to CJAM. Our music programming is unlike anything else in Windsor and Detroit. Nowhere else will you hear this much independent, local, international, obscure, older, non-pop, non-commercial music. If you're sick of hearing the same 10 songs on mainstream radio, consider donating and thanking the hosts who dig each week to find the music you hear on CJAM. Donate to CJAM today by visiting www.cjam.ca.
Welcome back to HandyLink, the Pledge Drive Show, sponsored by the Italian-Canadian Handy Capable Association. I'm your host, Cam Wells. Earlier in our show, we heard from disabilities legal expert Stephanie Kepman and CICE student Jacqueline Deschamps. In this segment of our show, before we hear more about the pledge drive, I'll be chatting with Patricia Jepson, coordinator for a 5-pin bowling league for the Italian-Canadian Handy Capable Association. So tell me a little bit about the ICHA Bowling League.
It is a new league that we've trying to put together in the area. We had an invitational night back in September, and there was approximately 20 participants that came out to join in on the evening, learn a little bit about bowling, and have a bit of fun. And since then, we've continued it every Thursday night, and we're averaging out around 16 per night.
So, is there any modified equipment used for this?
At the present time, there is not any modified equipment. They're all individual self-abled bodies that can pick up the ball and roll it. If we do run into a situation where somebody cannot hold on to the bowling ball, we possibly can get a ramp made that they can use.
So, how has the ICHA client base responded to this so far?
Awesome. They Teresa at the ICHA, Joe, and all of the board when I met with them. It was something new. They hadn't thought about it before because they do have the 10-pin going. And that's why we set up the invitational night, just to see if there was going to be a response, and continue it if possible. And we are looking at continuing it to the end of the bowling season, which would be the end of April. Teresa at the ICHA, she's been wonderful getting flyers out, information, and getting it back to me.
So, have there been any challenges in putting this together?
Not really, other than you always hope for more participants than what we're sitting at. But you know what? To go from nothing to 16 is pretty good, because it's a whole new idea, a whole new program. Volunteers, I've been putting coaches in place, and I've used a couple of their volunteers just to help me monitor the program. And it's just getting ourselves known in the community. I've got to take some more steps, go to the city and see if they have a special needs program. Again, I'm new in the area down here. I'm from the Brampton area, and we had a program going for 30-some years down there. And we ended up, we started small, and we grew till we had about over 100 participants in a week coming into the bowling center. In our league, we had 35 in one and 60 in another. So hopefully we're going to grow to those numbers down here once we get to be known.
Thank you very much for your help. And my friends, I won't keep you in suspense any longer. We're going to tell you more about the pledge drive.
All right. So, as I said before, we're trying to raise $30,000 for our annual budget. And basically, that's to keep day-to-day things running here at CJAM and making sure that we can bring you quality programs like HandyLink, a disabilities program, which is very specific and something you won't find necessarily on the mainstream media. And that includes most of our spoken word programming as well.
So, what are the incentives?
The incentives: for $20, you can get yourself a music prize pack, which is 4 CDs of your choosing, or our programmer's choosing, depending on whether or not you'd like to get a little more specific. And that ranges from 4 CDs to a vinyl LP, if you like, instead. We also have the $50 incentive, which is the music prize pack, plus one of our 2014 Pledge Drive t-shirts designed by local artist Greg Maxwell, and they really came out great with our brand new logo reaching higher ground in celebration of our recent power increase.
Okay, so we have the what, now on to the how.
Yeah, for sure. If you'd like to donate, you can go online to cjam.ca and hit the Donate to CJAM tab, and you can get links to all of the prizes that you can potentially get via pledging. And then also you can use PayPal, Visa, MasterCard, if you want to call us at 519-971-3630 that's in Windsor and Detroit, or Detroit or out of town, that's 1-855-344-2526. And you can have one of our volunteers here. We'll be answering phones, and you can also pay via cash, check, money order, and as I said before, Visa, MasterCard, or PayPal.
Coming up in our next segment, we'll hear from Disabilities Observer Samantha Newmarch. So, in recent observations, what sorts of things have you noticed should be in place for a person with a disability?
Well, I think that there should be Braille on signs. There should be voiced command where needed. There should be ramps.
Why do you think these things are important for the disabled community?
Well, because the disabled community should be able to do anything that able-bodied people are able to do. And so if there are things that are stopping them from carrying out a normal life, then they should, those things should be put into place.
Well, from my own experience, it's usually the simple upgrades of accessibility that just have the most impact. Brailing a sign, for example, as you mentioned, is one of the big things. To actually get that in place isn't a difficult process, but for a person with a disability, it can make all the difference. Any thoughts on this?
I think that if a company is able to put those simple changes into place, then they should.
So if you could send any one message about the need for accessibility upgrades, what would you say?
I would say that in order to keep your business running, you should put things in place so that your business is accessible to any and everyone, no matter if they have a disability or not.
So as an observer, what sorts of things do you find are commonly lacking from day-to-day businesses?
Ramps, Braille, voice commands. I think that's the only thing that I noticed, really. How about you? Did you notice anything that should be put in place?
Well, commonly I find that businesses are lacking sort of an alternative method. Having an elevator, having a ramp is fine. Make sure that that ramp goes the complete distance, and if there's a power outage, there should always be a backup system in place. Just my own thoughts about this.
Right.
So, as one working and living in the Toronto area, do you find that there's a lot of accessibility in place, or could the infrastructure be improved?
I think that there is a lot of accessibility in and around the city. I think that it's a measure that's usually always taken, more so than in small towns, in accordance with my experience. Whereas if I'm in a small town, I'll notice that they have less accessibility measures, which is unfortunate, but I guess it's just something that they oversee.
Every once in a while, folks, I like to look at the questions, how does the able-bodied community view disability life? That's why I'm always glad to have Samantha on. The story from her first appearance on the show was helping someone in a wheelchair get access to a building. A simple thing, or is it? It's simple, and the action she took was something that she was in a position to do, just provide courtesy, to provide help. But I like to go a little deeper with that. I like to see it as she was respecting his right to access, sending a message that anyone, whether they have a disability or not, is entitled to make use of a business or service, which is exactly the point she touched on today. The fact is, it's fine having all these things in place for members of the disabled community, and they themselves can indeed speak to their needs. However, to get a complete picture, it's important from time to time to ask the able-bodied community what they think as well. They might think of some insight, some innovation someone with a disability wouldn't necessarily know to ask for or know is possible. What I'm getting at here, folks, simply, life is about balance. It's about asking the questions of all people. It's about getting as many perspectives working together to make things better for individuals with disabilities. Fact is, things like Braille, things like ramps, things like voice command are important upgrades that can be made and can benefit individuals with disabilities. But so too, and they benefit their able-bodied counterparts. Take the wheelchair button, for example. It's a necessity for someone in a wheelchair in many cases, but for someone who has their hands full carrying groceries and needs to get into a building, it's also important. It's not its specific intent, is that. However, able-bodied concepts and disability concepts really do work together. Ideas, technologies, it's all about interplay. It's all about bringing things together, making them their best. And now, a little something more about the pledge drive. And now, another pledge pitch, my friends.
Hi, everybody. This is Brady again, program director here at CJAM. And I'd just like to tell you briefly about our incentive packages that we have. If you want to donate $20, you can get our music prize pack, which is based on donation, $5 per CD, $10 for a single LP, and then for a full LP, we go $20. And then if you donate $50, you get one of our great CJAM 2014 Pledge Drive t-shirts designed by our local artist, Greg Maxwell. And if you want to do $100, you'll get the gift pack, the t-shirt, as well as a great incentive package from a local business. If you'd like to go online, cjam.ca, and you can hit donate to CJAM. And from there, you can use PayPal, Visa, MasterCard. You can also do check, money order, or PayPal, or you can also do a money order.
So what's the goal we're trying to reach this year?
We're trying to reach $30,000, which will be about 20% of our annual budget, and basically just to keep things running here at CJAM. We need to update our equipment sometimes, and we need to replace some old stuff, and generally just keep the station going.
Speaking as old stuff, I'm irreplaceable.
Exactly. Exactly.
So CJAM's programming is something you won't find anywhere else.
No, not at all. Especially, we have a lot of spoken word programs, such as this one, that are very specific and created for a very specific community, such as we have Handy Link. We also have our local politics show, Rose City Politics, All in a Day's Work, looking at labor issues, and a very wide range of other programs as well.
So as program director, it's your privilege to hear this great programming, and I know you yourself, along with the other staff members, are very committed just to keeping things not only running, but at their best.
Definitely. We've recently had a power increase thanks to support just like this. We've gone from about 500 watts to just over 2,000, so we've quadrupled our power, and we're really trying to keep an increase in standards going as well. And it all starts with some funding.
That's where you good folks come in. It's great today having on a couple of my favorite guests and bringing in some new favorites as well. Every person, whether they have a disability or not, has a great story to share. Everyone who decides to make disability life a little bit better, like Samantha, or those out in the community advocating, like Steph, or those directly involved with day-to-day disability life, like Jacqueline and Patricia, all are working in their own way just to make the world a better place. Disability life is about opportunities, but it's also about presence. Presence in the community. A person with a disability should be out there living their life with strength, with dignity, should be granted respect and consideration same way as any other. If you're someone with the story of disability life, write HandyLink 4, HandyLink, number 4, at gmail.com. Always love to hear from you folks at home. This has been HandyLink. I'm your host, Cam Wells, reminding you, we're all equal, so get on out there and have yourselves a good one. You've earned it, folks. We'll see you next week.